Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat, NFL, and Paul is Fanatic underscore Pick, and we are the official channel as well for the Fan Sided Network and Fin Fanatic. We are taking a look at day one of free agency in the NFL. I know it's the tampering period, but it's day one of free agency. If you can come to terms with a player and not sign it till Wednesday, it is still free agency. And we saw a lot of free agent signings by some teams in the AFC East today, Paul, but none of which were by the Dolphins. And not a huge surprise there, but I've got to chuckle a little bit. Something just came through that the Dolphins signed a player named Seathan Carter from the Bengals. And it's funny because I always tell Paul to shut up about fullbacks. They signed one player today and it's a fullback, but we're still getting the news on that. He's a special teams guy, but Paul, the bigger news coming in right now from a lot of different places, Barry Jackson, Adam Beasley, Cameron Wolf, all reporting that the Dolphins are very hot after Lions wide receiver Kenny Golladay.
I'm down. I mean, it's especially after signing a fullback. I mean, we won free agency at that point with Golladay and Carter. Seathan Carter. That's the name, I think.
Yeah. That we're still learning the pronunciation now. Seathan Carter played 223 snaps for the Bengals on offense last year. He was second on their team in special teams snaps. Basically we had a special teamer, fullback / tight end. I would imagine he would be the guy that'll kind of take over for Durham Smythe after the year. But anyway, Kenny Golladay. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. Dolphins haven't signed him yet, and there's no indication that's imminent at all. But when you look at it, we talked about how Golladay, even though a very talented player, he's coming off an injury, and he also kind of fits that same mold of a Devontae Parker and a Mike Gesicki. I mean, this is somebody, according to Next Gen Stats, averaged 1.9 yards of separation per route, which was the lowest in the league. But he also has a very high yards per catch average, makes plays downfield, albeit by contested catches.
Yeah, and the funny thing to me is, and we tweeted this out from the show today, I don't know if you saw it, but we welcome Jalen Mills to the AFC East with the pictures of him getting mossed completely by Devontae Parker in 2019. And if you can get a Golladay and a Devontae Parker on the outside going up against Steph Gilmore and Jalen Mills, it's going to be fun to watch with, you know, the Patriots' prized corners potentially getting mossed by both of those guys. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, Gesicki and Kyle Pitts running routes all over the middle of that defense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Jalen Mills plays, because he's played a lot of corner. He's played a lot of safety. He was a safety with the Eagles last year, but they signed him 4 years, $24 million. That's pretty big money for a third safety. So maybe he gets a shot there, a cornerback in a Belichick scheme. But who didn't the Patriots sign today? I mean, they actually – so they signed to ridiculous – Nelson Aguilar, they signed 2 years, $26 million, $13 million a year for Nelson Aguilar. They signed Kendrick Bourne, 3 years, $22 million. Could you imagine a year ago if somebody had said that you signed those players for that money? They had kind of breakout years, but not, I mean, nothing crazy. Aguilar had a huge game against the Dolphins. They also signed Janu Smith, who I think is a great signing for them. They also signed Davin Gotchaw, which we'll get to in a bit. Just signed Henry Anderson from the Jets. We could have a whole show on who the Patriots signed today. They certainly, Paul, did not waste any time completely throwing all their cap money out the window here.
They didn't, but I'm not intimidated by most of those signings. I mean, Jonnu Smith is probably the one that I think is the biggest one for them. We all know who Davin Gotchaw is and isn't. And really, I their receiving core doesn't scare me fully. And they got a quarterback with a rocket arm that can't hit the broadside of a barn on most plays. So, yeah, I love it, actually, because they're blowing cap space and ruining their potential for their roster for the future, and they're doing it all now. So it's perfect.
Yeah, I can say that, yes, the Patriots got better on paper today. There's no question about that. They added a lot of good players. But, yeah, and I think you could really check a lot or just about all of our previous shows. I mean, just see we're being consistent here. Nelson Aguilar is a guy we talked about kind of in that third tier. You know, if after a few days, you know, hey, he's still out there for $6-7 million, or at least I was. You're shaking your head on that. I understand. I'm distracted here because the Jets actually just signed Carl Lawson from the Bengals.
Ooh, okay.
That sucks. That sucks. That's a player I definitely wanted once the Dolphins traded Shaq Lawson to the Texans for Bernardrick and McKinney, which we'll also get to in a minute. But there's a lot of stuff coming in right now. So, yeah, the Patriots added a lot of players. But Matt Judon is a player that I was relieved when the Ravens franchised him last year. He's a good, versatile player, but I never saw the huge deal about him. But if you had told me that Aguilar would be $13 million, Kendrick Bourne would be $7 or $8 million, I would have said that's way, 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 way too high. And Davin Gotchaw, God bless him, got overpaid too.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's a byproduct of the fact that they're no longer the Patriots they were, and so they're not getting that "we're coming here to win" discount that they used to get in the past. And I think Belichick's realizing that, and he's paying what he has to start trying to roster build, but I'm not sure that they're the division winner, even with spending all that cap money today. I mean, we've been there. We have been there as Dolphin fans. But the difference is, when we did it, we went for the top of the heap. The Patriots went in on most of these positions and signings somewhere in the middle of the heap, deep and heavy on day one.
Right. I completely agree with you there. And you know, that's what I like to avoid is, hey, I'm good with staying out of free agency. I'm good with going and getting a star like a Kenny Golladay. But what I don't want to do is sign 7 or 8 players that on some level their other team didn't want. Look, the Raiders have a lot of money. They didn't re-sign Nelson Aguilar. They had him for a whole year. Kendrick Bourne for the 49ers. The 49ers could have got him back for not too much money. I mean, those are the ones like the Albert Wilson signings. It's like, what? Okay, I understand if you can't fork over $20 million for a star. You can't fork over $6 or $7 million for this guy if he's so good. No, I'm not with it on that. But on the other hand, I do like what the Jets and Bills have done, unfortunately, because now that they've signed Carl Lawson, they've got a really young, good pass rusher, and they've needed one for a long time. They also signed Corey Davis for 3 years, $37 million, which I think is a pretty reasonable contract for somebody who's 26 and on the upswing.
Yeah, I just, again, like the Jets, the biggest one is Carl Lawson for me, completely. Yeah, he's of all these names we've mentioned, he's the only one I even wanted. Like I didn't feel like anybody got taken off the table for Miami here.
Yeah, and the Bills too, they really just re-signed a lot of their own guys, and that's the benefit of having a good team like the Bills and going to the AFC title game. They were able to re-sign right tackle Darrell Williams, guard John Feliciano, and Matt Milano for probably cheaper than they would have got there on the open market. And that's the benefit there of doing that. And I think that might be the benefit of what you see in the next few days of free agency, because there are a lot of big names out there and a lot of players that can help the Dolphins. So yeah, Galladay's it's fascinating that the Dolphins are interested in him. And also what's also being reported is the Giants are a big player in him. And if I had to guess and make a prediction, I would predict that the Giants really end up anteing up. But that's just a guess on my part. But Paul, even if they don't, I mean, you take a look at this wide receiver market, Kenny Galladay, Curtis Samuel, Will Fuller. I know we don't like Juju Smith-Schuster, but if he stays out there for a few days, you know, at least I'd be relieved they're not signing him to a huge contract. So a wide receiver and edge, you still have a lot of names out there.
Yeah, there are a ton. I mean, the entire top of the wide receiver class is still pretty much intact. The edge position, if it's not Carl Lawson or maybe Tyus Bowser, who I think would be a later in the week type of guy, I really just want to focus on it in the draft. There's not a huge amount of these guys that are going to produce to the level of pay that I would expect for them.
Yeah, one name to keep in mind are really two names I'm going to be looking at here in the next couple of days if the Dolphins don't get something done with Galladay tonight or early tomorrow. Curtis Samuel and Trey Hendrickson, because those both fit big needs. And with Samuel, you know, you take a look at the contract that Nelson Aguilar just signed with the Patriots. That doesn't make a lot of sense for Aguilar other than, hey, this is going to be his big payday for what he's produced in the NFL. Curtis Samuel is still 24 years old. He could sign a two-year contract like that, go to a good team, have a role with an up-and-coming quarterback, and then hit free agency again at 26 or 27 in a couple of years and get another bite at the apple. That could make some sense for Curtis Samuel. Trey Hendrickson also is just 26 years old. He's somebody that could also, you know, if he struggles to find something here throughout the week, maybe he comes to a team like Miami, starts for a couple of years, and then goes out to free agency again. So those are a couple of things I'm going to be watching for.
Yeah, and I really like the fact that Miami's not blinking. They're waiting for the value, the player they want at the value they want. And that's unusual. I mean, I'm used to Miami going out and just going, gimme, 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 get over here, get over here, get over here, and ruining their cap space. I mean, I'm not saying that they're going full-on Saints mode like the Pats are, but, you know, they were destroying their cap on day one and then trying to cut some people to fill in the rest of their gaps after the fact. And I'm glad to see that trend is over with.
Yeah, back in the Mike Tannenbaum days, when some of these players are being signed, like when the Dolphins re-signed Andre Branch, a few days after free agency started.
Kat, we're hearing in the chat here, it sounds like we missed it, but Curtis Samuel actually signed with the Jags now.
Oh, okay. Well, news is coming in pretty fast here, so.
The beauty of being live.
Yeah, that's for sure, especially with all this news coming in here. So I'm interested to see what he got on that, but
it's all right. My guy's still out there.
4 years, $48 million is the word here. So interesting. But also too, now that takes Samuel off the board, but it also takes off takes the Jaguars cap down too. So now if the Dolphins want to go get Kenny Galladay or Will Fuller, now there are fewer teams with that are going to be competing for him. So thank you to our listener there. I can't believe that was.
Hold on. Somebody just said it was a fake account somebody bought in on. So
see, you know what?
The beauty, it gets worse every year with that.
You know what? Hey, see, we can't.
I bought in on one earlier and I immediately caught it, but you remember I messaged you about Marvin Jones with the Colts?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we got some interns to fire here after this, after this segment here. So yeah, Curtis Samuel is still a free agent. Everything I said was correct. Everybody on Twitter is a loser. So anyway, moving on. Paul, there's still a lot of names out there, but right after we did our show yesterday, the Dolphins did pull a trade here, trading Shaq Lawson for Bennardrick McKinney, the linebacker from the Texans. I think we can agree a move that not a lot of us saw. But I don't know. I found it interesting. I'll throw it to you first. What was your gut reaction on this trade?
I loved it. It gives us a running mate with Jerome Baker in the middle. It gives us somebody that is completely solid against the run, can blitz, can move around, and really, you know, it puts Miami in a position where they need an edge guy now, whether it's kind of that hybrid DE outside linebacker, but they can find that. It's why I mentioned Tyus Bowser now. It's why I mentioned, I look at Micah Parsons as still being a fit if he slides to 18, or if we miss on Pitts. I look at, you know, guys like Ramondre Stevenson later in the draft, or even Vince Beagle, who's reportedly re-signing for a year. There's a lot of guys that can come in and fill that role and fill it effectively based on the front six we already have.
Yeah, I overall liked it. I mean, I was not a huge Shaq Lawson guy anyway, to begin with. But I understood the signing. It was kind of like with Eric Flowers on the offensive side of the ball. You just want to get somebody in there who's going to be an above average player. And Shaq Lawson was that. He sets a good edge from the defensive end spot. But I think the main thing is, at this time last year, Zach Sealer, who sets a great edge at his size, is a big dude, but sets a great edge at his size, and Andrew Van Ginkle. Those were two players that we were not counting on heading into the 2020 season, and they stepped up. And now you're going to have to get them on the field. So I think that's why it made a lot of sense here. Now, Bernardrick McKinney is somebody back in the 2015 draft I really wanted, and he went several picks before the Dolphins, and then they traded down and took Jordan Phillips. McKinney, from 2016 to 2019, played over 950 snaps each year. So he can definitely take on a lot of snaps. He's 6'4", 255, a huge guy. He's not the bendiest. He's a stiff run defender type, but he's a massive dude. So I think he's going to slide into that Kyle Van Noy role. And the Dolphins also save $1 million from Shaq Lawson. So, yeah, they go from the sixth to the seventh round, but I don't really care all that much on it. So, yeah, overall, I like the move. And I think that the Dolphins, in a deep defensive end class in the draft with so many players there, that they can get an edge player in the top 50.
Yeah, and Kat, question from the chat. Jeff asked if we think that the linebacker core is hurting with all the players cut or walking, or if we're good with the trades and re-signing Vince Beagle. I'll pitch it to you first, because I know I've talked way too much about linebackers this offseason.
Yeah, Beagle, I'd love to have back. And, you know, I never even thought it was a huge possibility, but the Dolphins, according to recent reports here, Barry Jackson said he can confirm Beagle is returning to the Dolphins, as JCT Sports reported. I don't know the figures on that yet, but I would imagine it would be a reasonable contract. Beagle can play special teams, and for the first couple of games, really in his role, he didn't get a lot of sacks, but active, pressures the quarterback, can cover the flat well, plays special teams. I think it'd be great to get him back.
And I still think that we probably need one or two. I still would like to get Zach Vigil, or Nick Vigil. That's what happens when the two brothers play in free agency here on a discount deal to come in and play a backup, because he can flex around at the different linebacker positions. And then I still think we need to take one in the draft, whether it's, you know, Micah Parsons or a guy like Chaz Surratt goes up my board a little bit now, given the fact that he can play a little more off ball than some of the guys we looked at early, and we've talked about already.
Yeah, and something our listeners need to know too is that, look, the Dolphins very rarely play with three linebackers. So now they've got Baker, they've got Bernardrick McKinney, they're getting Vince Beagle back in the fold, they've got Andrew Van Ginkle. Yeah, I agree. I think they need another guy or two, and I think they will get another guy or two for that. But that guy that comes in also has to be able to play special teams. So that – the McKinney signing, and presumably if Beagle comes back, that really takes down the need a lot at linebacker. And that's what we're looking for here. So, yeah, that's we'll see. We'll see about the Galladay news. We'll see if somebody like Trey Hendrickson gets on the Dolphins' radar. Maybe they take another swing at Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think they will. That would probably be for way, way later in the offseason, if at all. But
and Kat, don't forget, too, we've also got Sam McGwavin under contract at the moment. So, and he could definitely come in and fill a role.
You being serious?
What?
I guess he can.
He can. I mean, you know what?
I just heard you dog him a lot. That's the only reason I hesitated.
He's a back. He's one of those guys. That's like a top tier backup that can come in and start for you. But if you're counting on him as the cream of the crop for you, no. But I mean, he had some big plays when he got in that situational role. So I like him in that role. I just don't like him as the full time everyday starter.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And before, you know, the free agency started, you know, a couple of guys that we talked about briefly were from the Packers, Aaron Jones and Corey Linsley. And Aaron Jones re-signed yesterday before free agency started. 4 years, $48 million. Paul, I know you were thrilled with that. And overall, I've said from the beginning that I want to go to the draft for the running back. But I would have been way more receptive to Aaron Jones than you or a lot of other Dolphins fans would have been. But Corey Linsley, I know you liked a lot. 5 years, $62.5 million. He's going to be getting $26 million in his first 2 years with the Chargers. So I like Linsley, but I don't think I'd be paying that.
Yeah, no, at that point in time, I am out. You know, he looked to find the Brinks truck. And God bless him. Congratulations to him. You know, enjoy sucking up that much cap space as a center. You know, I honestly heard the terms, and it's just gross.
Yeah, he's a first team All Pro, but he is, you know, coming up on 30 years old. It's a lot. And the Chiefs signed Joe Tooney, 5 years, $80 million. He's going to make $32.5 million his first 2 years. Where did that money come from? That's pretty crazy.
Cutting all your other linemen.
yeah. You cut both. You can bet they're going to go tackle heavy in the draft here too. Other positions here. You know, David Andrews, the center out there, who I'm not too thrilled with. You know, it looks like it's going to be between him and Ted Karras to come back.
Possibly Skura, who was not signed yet from the Ravens.
Oh God. Ugh. Oh, yeah, I've heard that too.
I'll take it over Andrews.
I wouldn't. And here's why. Matt Skura had to be replaced in the lineup last year because he couldn't snap the football. He had like Chuck Knobloch second base syndrome back 20. I mean, good it was reference. Ugly.
Good and, reference.
And it's because I was like Skura. I always did. He was the guy that was that tough, nasty guy who got in that fight with Kiko Alonso on Thursday Night Football a few years ago, among many people who are kicking Kiko Alonso's rear end. But if it weren't for the snap, if a year ago today, I would have loved Skura. I've completely soured on him now. I think that would be ugly. But anyway, those are the kinds of decisions you're going to have to make if you don't have a Corey Linsley on your team. So running back is interesting to watch too, Paul. I mean, you've got Chris Carson out there. You've got James Conner, Marlon Mack, Mike Davis, and a bunch of other veteran backs. Jamal Williams posted today that he's not going to be coming back to Green Bay. That was pretty obvious. Philip Lindsay is a name to keep in mind. The Dolphins like to trade for those veterans. They just tendered him very, very low. And there were whispers from a few weeks ago, I can't remember where, but that the Dolphins might have some interest. Never know. Keep an eye on Philip Lindsay. Don't be surprised.
Yeah, and Jerick McKinnon's another one that I still like that I believe is still out there. I haven't seen any reports of him signing yet today. outside of that, I don't want them going crazy because I still want them to draft, you know, whether it's Najee, whether it's Javonte, or whether it's Travis Etienne. I want to see Miami draft a good, solid running back for the future. A lot of these guys that are out there in free agency are just rentals at this point, and they need to get somebody to come in and be that thunder to the lightning with Savon and Gaskin.
Stand on Philip Lindsay. Tom Pelissero tweeted out here, that Lindsey, who was an undrafted free agent, that means another team can sign him to an offer sheet. And if the Broncos don't match, they receive no compensation. He battled injuries last year, but ran for over 1,000 yards in 2019 and is only 26. So I still want to go to the draft for running backs. I'm looking at that 36 pick for Najee, Javonte Williams, or Travis Etienne. But Lindsey is definitely more appetizing for me than any running back out there on the market.
Yeah, and really it's, you know, I could see that. I could get behind it, but I do worry a little bit about the injuries and when it comes to him. And guys, make sure you guys click like. Make sure you guys subscribe. We're going to be coming at you with any news we get this week. And really, we're going to be getting a lot more prominent here as the draft gets closer now that we've gotten through the doldrums of February. So I'm so excited for all this stuff. And God, I hope we have some good news to come back at you with very soon here. Kat, anything else you want to talk about with the free agent class?
No, I'm good because I don't want to dig in too deep. We're going to be back here tomorrow night, same time, kind of recapping the day, whether something happened or not. So that's going to do it for our breakdown of day one of free agency. Follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all of our social media outlets. We're the official partner of the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.